Just listen to him, will you, Andy, lad? Engines built by the Scots and nursed by a Scotch engineer. Is it any wonder that they run so sweet, eh?
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
We know why Wherryman left part of his fortune to Ben Miller, Dirk, but what about the others? You say you've got all the particulars there. Let's hear them. Might be a lead in it someplace.
It was after 10 on our third night out from Sydney. The sea was calm and the Tangmar hardly rolled at all as she ploughed steadily on at nearly 10 knots. We'd come almost 800 sea miles, and in that time Ben Miller had been killed, and I'd come within an ace of death myself. There was still the unexplained mystery of Edwin Tuker going overboard. But if the little man couldn't or wouldn't remember whether he'd been pushed, there was nothing I could do. I was talking with Lee Blake, the American who was aboard to protect his father's interest in the Tangmar. And while my thoughts went back to the knife that had killed Ben Miller and had also been used by my unknown attacker, I looked down again at the details of the beneficiaries I'd received from Brancher, Brancher and Smith in Jamaica. Perhaps Lee was right. Maybe we would find a clue in Wherryman's reasons for leaving his £1 million to these passengers on the Tangmar.
Well, go on. What have you got on Miss Fedorov?
Oh, not much. But here it is. To Miss Ilona Fedorov, who should remember me very well since we traveled from Hong Kong together by ship in 1938, when she was going to Australia as an immigrant and... Was something wrong, Lee?
Well, go on.
I leave 1/6 of my fortune because of Miss Fedorov's devotion to her ailing parents. I was relieved to find that in spite of the many attractions of shipboard life, this young woman of 17 years should prefer in this modern age to discharge her duties as a daughter. Her care and attention to her father and mother were a constant reminder to me that the younger generation is capable of proving we oldsters wrong when we say young people are not what they were. Signed, Victor Wherryman.
Doesn't sound like the same Ilona, does it?
What are you getting at?
Well, she told me a story that her parents died in China. Now, why would she do that if, as she now claims, she brought them with her? And another thing, according to Ilona, she came to Australia after the war.
Well, there's something else, too. She denies ever knowing Victor Wherryman. Why?
Oh, I think there's a simple enough explanation, Dirk.
Well, let's have it.
Well, if she came to Australia in 38, that's 21 years ago, and she was 17 at the time, it's obvious that Miss Fedorov is a little older than she would have us believe.
Well, what's that got to do with her denying that she remembers Victor Wherryman?
Well, I think if she admitted it, she'd have to admit that she's not quite the tough baby she pretends to be. You know, I find myself liking Ilona Fedorov more than I thought possible.
Well, this story about her parents dying in China...
Oh, at the time, I had the feeling it was a very practiced line. I dare say she's told it so often, she almost believes it herself. You going to mention this to her?
Not for the moment. Because she's lied doesn't make her out to be a killer.
Someone on this ship is.
Listen, Lee, I've got two jobs. One to find a killer and the other to protect these passengers.
Yeah, sure, sure. You know, she doesn't look a day over 30.
I thought we were going through this stuff to look for clues.
Of course, she was in England when Slavin was killed.
In that case, if you're trying to pin it on her, then there are two killers aboard. It wasn't Miss Fedorov who attacked me on deck. But she could have been an accomplice.
I doubt it. What have you got on Slavin?
Nothing. That's funny. He was a beneficiary, and yet Brancher, Brancher and Smith didn't send any details on him.
I guess they decided you were interested only in the ones who were living.
Yes, I suppose so. Listen, Lee, if you like, I'll leave this stuff with you. I don't think you'll find anything in it, but you're welcome to try.
Hey, where are you off to?
Find a steward who attends to Captain Goddard's cabin. I want to know if he saw that knife or not.
Course, Harris.
Degree, sir. 22 and a half east.
Course, Harris. On the Tangmar, we steer the old-fashioned way. Course, Harris.
North or east, sir.
Yeah. Quartermaster, did you speak to the engine room? Tell him he wanted more ribs.
Yes, sir.
And why the devil don't they give them to us?
Because we can't, that's why.
Oh, hello, Chief. There's something wrong.
Something wrong, he says. You do want to reach Jamaica, don't you?
Now, look, Chief.
The way you're driving those Bienses of mine, you'll be lucky to get to Papeete. And if you do, there'll be no need to bunker. For 3 days now, I've given you all the speed we're capable of.
Now, Chief, even a couple more ribs and...
Not one. In fact, it might help if you travel slow for a while. Give me a bit of time to nuss them along a bit. You know, you're not skipper on a big liner, you know, just because we've got a few passengers for once.
Half speed, quartermaster.
Half speed, skipper.
Satisfied now, Mr. Cregan?
Yeah. And there's another thing. I'd like to know what all this talk is about a murder on the Tangmar, what it means.
I'll tell you later, Chief.
Very well. I don't care who gets killed, Captain Goddard, as long as it's not one of my engineers. And you're not going to murder my engines, Captain Goddard. Remember that.
Wait till he gets back to the engine room, Harris, and then ring down for full speed. Make the old buzzard burst one of his own boilers.
Mr. Kendall, are you in there? Mr. Kendall, I...
Odette just stepped out, Miss Federoff. Something wrong?
Oh, I merely wish to talk to him, that's all.
Well, I do.
So that you can report everything I say back to him?
Haven't you forgiven me for that yet?
There is nothing to forgive. I trusted you, and you broke my trust.
Now, wait a minute. I told Dirk you were in England at the time of Slavin's death because I had to. If you had nothing to do with Slavin's murder, there was no reason to hide the fact.
Who are you, Mr. Blake?
Talkative and traveling Yank.
Mm. That is what you want us to believe.
If I don't tell you anymore, I won't have to lie.
Why do you say it like that?
Because you lied to me. You lied about your parents dying before you went to Australia, and you lied about when you went there.
How did you know that?
Never mind how I know. I know. Supposing you tell the truth, huh? Why did you go to England 3 months ago? Forget that stuff about the man who spoke of the second yarn about wanting to feel what it would be like to spend money. I want the truth.
Well, before my parents died, I promised them that I would go to England as soon as I could. My uncle lives there, and there was an icon my father wished him to have. As soon as I knew that I was to come into this money, I took it to him. I do not ask you to understand,
I do understand. And you got frightened when you read about Slavin's death, is that it?
Yes.
But why should you be? You had nothing to do with it.
No, I didn't. But how can I explain to you that the fear of men in uniform that lasts long after there is no need to fear. I grew up with that fear. I cannot shake it off as if it had never been.
Yeah, it's getting late, Alona. I'll walk you back to your cabin. You're sure you can't tell me why you wanted to see Dirk?
No, it was only that sitting in my cabin, thinking of all that had happened, I felt frightened. I began to think that perhaps I was the next one to...
Yeah, I know. Come on, I'll be glad to leave this stuff anyway.
Are you making out a report?
No, I've been reading one. Say, did you like Victor Wherryman alone?
He was very kind to me. A charming old man with a little white beard. Until I met him, I'd never known the meaning of the phrase English gentleman. It seemed part of a lost era, even as far back as 1938.
Oh, Jones, I've been waiting for you. Oh,
I'm busy just now, Mr. Kendall. I've got to clean up the captain's cabin.
At this time of night?
Well, if you'll move away from the door, sir.
I won't take up very much of your time. I just want you to answer a question or two.
Is it about the murder, sir?
Not actually, no. I left a knife in Captain Goddard's cabin.
Knife, sir?
Knife. K-N-I-F-E. I thought you might have seen it.
Oh, I haven't been near the cabin tonight, sir.
I didn't say when I left it.
You...
How did you know I was talking about tonight? Well, come on, Joe.
Well, I thought you meant tonight, sir. I just...
Have you been on deck in the last couple of hours?
Mr. Kendall,
have you, Jones?
No, sir.
And, of course, you didn't see that knife.
No, sir.
Do you mind if I ask you one more question, Joe?
Sir, I'm very busy. And
yes, I know that, but how did you get that bruise on your cheekbone? Someone tried to kill me tonight, Jones, and he was about your size. During the fight, I managed to hit him in the face. How did you get that bruise, Jones? Captain Stewart was the kind of man you'd find in a prize ring. Built like an ox. And beneath the jacket he wore, I could see the seaman's vest. We faced each other outside the captain's cabin. And at that moment, Jones looked like the killer I sought in this passage of the Tangmar.